This is the second of two sermons which John Calvin preached on the fourth commandment, and this was preached on Friday the 21st of June 1555, and the scripture is, 6 days shalt thou labour, thou shalt not do any work therein, thyself, thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy womanservant, thine ox, thine ass, and thy cattle, and thy stranger which is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy womanservant may have rest as well as thyself. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee thence with a strong hand and arm stretched out, and therefore the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to keep holy the Sabbath day. Father, thank you for these sermons by John Calvin, and thank you, Lord, that we are able to benefit from hearing what that man, who was so mightily used by you centuries ago, Lord, was able to teach, Lord, and we are thrilled to find, Lord, that this is the same teaching that we teach today, Lord, that this man was full of evangelical fervour and zeal, Lord. Help us to take the things that we hear to heart. Help us to reverence your word, Lord, and to understand the place of your law in our lives once we are Christians and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you give us a Sabbath, a day of rest, Lord, wherein we can focus especially and more thoroughly on the things of God. Help us to be diligent, Lord, in seeking out that rest, and doing so not out of a slavish adherence to your law, because we know we could never be saved by that, Lord, but out of love for you and out of understanding of who you are and just how great your works are, and just exactly what it means that we are sinners saved by faith through grace alone, in Jesus, faith in Jesus Christ alone. And oh Lord, may we love him more, may we serve him more nearly, may we pray, Lord, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in these days and make us a light to this dark world, Lord, that as Jesus told us that we are the light of the world and commanded us to let our light shine, so that our light might shine in these days. Father, bless this reading of this sermon that was preached so long ago, and make it new to us today, so that it might be glorifying and honouring to your name. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I declared yesterday how and why the commandment of keeping the Sabbath day was given to the Jews. I told you briefly how it was a figure of the spiritual rest which the faithful ought to observe, to serve God in. Howbeit our Lord Jesus Christ hath brought us the permanence thereof, so as we must no more stay upon the shadow of the law, but content ourselves with the crucifying of our old man by the power of death and passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be renewed to serve our God truly. But yet in the meanwhile we have need of some policy and order among us. Therefore it is expedient that there be a day of rest for us to meet together, that we be confirmed in the doctrine of God, and profit daily therein, that is to say, all the time of our life, and also be occupied in calling upon his name, and in making confession of our faith, and that therewithal the residue of the day be spent in considering the benefits that we receive from time to time at God's hand, that he may be the better glorified for them. And now we have to mark what is said in Moses' text, 6 days shalt thou labour, saith the Lord. This must not be taken as though God commanded us to labour. It is true that we be born thereto, and we know that God intendeth not that we should be idle while we live in this world, for he hath given men hands and feet and cunning and wit. Yea, and even before there was any sin, it is said that Adam was put into the garden to dress it. But the labour that men take now is chastisement for sin. For it is said unto them, thou shalt eat thy bread in the sweat of thy brows. That is a curse which is laid upon all mankind. For we be not worthy to enjoy the state that was given to our first father, which was to live in pleasure without much trouble of troubling of himself. Notwithstanding, even before sin came into the world, and before we were condemned of God to this painful and constrained labour, it behoved men to occupy themselves in some exercise. And why? For it is against our nature to be as unprofitable blocks of wood. So then it is very certain that we must apply the whole time of our life to some labour. Nevertheless, here is no precise commandment given of labouring 6 days, for in very deed there were other solemnities besides the Sabbath day under the law. There were other feasts which might fall in the middle of the week. Excuse me. But for as much as the number of them was small, for they were but sour days in the year, here is excuse me, here is no mention made of them. He speaketh but only of the Sabbath day, and whereas it is said, thou shalt labour 6 days, our Lord shows us that we have no cause to grudge of the giving and bestowing of one day upon him, seeing he leaveth us 6 for 1. As if he should say, it is a great matter to you that is it a great matter to you that I should choose out one day to be reserved wholly to my service? So as ye shall do nothing therein but read and exercise yourselves in my law, or hear the doctrine that shall be preached unto you, and come to the temple to be there confirmed by the sacrifices that shall be offered, and to call upon my name, and to protest that you be of the fellowship of my people. Should this grieve you, seeing you have 6 days free and whole to do your business and affairs in? Seeing then that I deal so courteously with you as to require but 1 day of 7, is it not too great an unthankfulness if ye complain of that time as though it were misbestowed, as who should say ye were so churlish and niggardly as to grudge me the 7th part of your time? I give you your whole life, that sun never shineth upon you, but you ought to consider my goodness, and that I am a free-hearted Father towards you. For I make my sun to shine, to give you light to go by, that every of you might do his business. And why then should I have 1 day of 7, wherein every man shall I think that cease from his own business, so as ye shall not be entangled in any worldly care, but that ye may have leisure to think upon me. We see then that this saying of labouring 6 days is not set down as a commandment, but rather as a grant that God maketh, even in way of upbraiding men with their unthankfulness, if they do not observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as is spoken of it here. But hereof we may gather a good and profitable lesson. That is, that when we flow to obey God, when we be slow to obey God, we must consider his benefits. For what should more sharpen our desire to follow God's commandments than to consider that he dealeth not roughly with us, nay, overpresseth us not? Behold, God could rein us with a straight bit if it pleased him. He could drive us to so hard things as there should be no means to get out of them, but he hath a consideration to guide us as a father doth his children. Seeing then that he doth so bear with us, ought we not to be the more provoked to do as he appointed us? Yes, so then, as oft as God's commandments are hard unto us, or at leastwise seem to be so, let us assure ourselves that he doth not press us so much that he could nothing hear. For if God listed to use his right, with extremity, we should be tormented out of all measure. Therefore let us understand that he beareth with us, and that he useth more than fatherly goodness in that behalf. It is true that the law of God is unprofitable, impossible unto us, insomuch that we be not only unable to observe it throughout, but also if a man would of his own natural power discharge himself to Godward, he could not stir one finger, nor have one good thought to know which way to begin. And so far off are we from being able to obey God and to execute the things that are contained in his law, that all our thoughts and affections are enmities against God. If men could through their own power perform the law, it should be said to them, labour thou. But contrariwise it is said, rest ye, to the end that God may work. The law then may well be unprofitable, impossible as in respect of us, but yet it is possible for God to print it on our hearts, and to govern us by his Holy Spirit, yea, even in such wise as it shall be a sweet and light yoke unto us, and there shall be no hardness in it that may weary us. Therefore, when men have looked well about them, they shall find that God beareth with them, as a father that pitieth his children, and therefore let us learn to be thankful, and to be the more forward, and to serve our God, seeing he commandeth us no such things as ought to seem over bitter or painful to us, but to have a regard to our ability. Thus ye see that we have to mark upon this text where our Lord showeth that he leaveth men their commodity. True it is, as was touched yesterday, that we ought to be so spiritual as to assemble every day to call upon the name of God, and that we ought to mount up to the heavenly life, leaving all our worldly business. But what? God seeth that we be compassed about with our flesh, that we creep upon the earth, and that our infirmities carry us away in such sort, as we cannot lead the life of angels. God therefore, beholding such rawness and weakness in us, and knowing our inability to discharge ourselves fully of our duty, releaseth us and uttereth not his uttermost rigour, but saith he is contented if we allow him one day, or rather if that day serve us for all the rest of the week. God is contented with it. Why? For as I said, he goeth not to the extremity, because he knoweth that we be too feeble. Seeing then that he beareth so with us, and leaveth our commodities to us, we be so much the more lewd, unhonest, and unexcusable, if we be not inflamed to give ourselves over unto him. Now it is said therewithal, that neither manservant, nor womanservant, nor ox, nor ass, nor any other cattle must labour on the Sabbath day, nor any stranger within thy gates. As concerning cattle, it might be thought it strange that God should comprehend them under the keeping of the Sabbath day or of rest, seeing it is a high and heavenly mystery, as was declared yesterday. Doth such gear belong to oxen and asses? God saith, I have given you the Sabbath day to be as a sign that I make you holy, and that I am your God which reigneth among you. This is not common to all mortal men, for God granteth not such grace and privilege to the paynims and infidels, as to make them holy. He speaketh but only to the people whom he adopted and chose to be his heritage. But now, seeing that the Sabbath day is a sign of God's separating of his faithful church from all the rest of the world, wherefore it is extended unto oxen and asses, let us mark that it is not done for the brute beasts' sakes, but to the intent that men should have a monument before their eyes, to be the more touched therewith. This sacrament then concerneth not the beasts, which have no understanding nor reason, but it concerneth men who ought to make their profit of it. We see that the sacrifices were made of the brute beasts. We see there was great preparation in that behalf. There were vessels of gold and silver and such other like things, and whereas all these things were hallowed, is it meant that God did put his spirit into the corruptible metals and into the other things to have no feeling? No, but all this is referred to the men for whose use and commodity they are made. God doth not only serve his own turn with them in this present and brittle life, but also give them to us as tokens of his favour, to be as means and helps to draw us up to heaven. Now then, whereas God would have the oxen and asses to rest the seventh day, it is not meant thereby that he maketh them partakers of the ritual rest that we spake of before, but it was done to the end that the Jews, beholding their stables and stalls shut up, should consider thus with themselves, lo, God setteth us down this sign and visible sacrament before our eyes, and extendeth it even to the brute beasts, and that is to the end, that we on our part should be held the better to his service, and consider that it were a breaking of the whole law if we should not think upon the thing that is chiefest in all our whole life, namely, if we should not learn to forsake ourselves and no more follow our own likings, reason, and wifedom, but further our God to rule us, but suffer our God to rule us, and become as dead creatures, that he may live in us, and not follow our own swinge any more, which is utterly corrupted. I don't know what swinge is, but that's what it says. After this manner should the Jews have looked upon the visible sign that extended even to the beasts, to the end it might have retrained them so much the more, and they by that mean have been put in mind to have kept the Sabbath day with all reverence. Also, we see how God at all times handleth men according to their hardness, and how he hath provided convenient remedies for them, because they be not over hasty to come unto him, until they be drawn thither after that fashion. And this serveth not only for the Jews, but also for us. Then let us consider the goodness of our God, sith we see he is not unmindful of us, nor overflippeth anything that is at all that may remedy our vices. And therewithal let us also consider the untowardness that is in ourselves, to the end that we flatter not ourselves, nor give head to our affections, seeing it is so that we have need to be constrained, and that God should give us strokes with the spur, as it were, to retire, rest horses. Seeing then that God quickeneth us up after that fashion, let us assure ourselves he doth it not causeless, but because we be forward and froward and stubborn. And therefore let us mislike all of our affections, and learn to imprison ourselves, so as nothing may withhold us from following the trace that God commandeth us. And although our nature strive against it, yet let us so bridle the same, as we may go through without ceasing, even till we be fully obedient to our God. Thus you see that we have to remember upon this place, besides that which shall be spoken anon concerning men servants and women servants, whereby God putteth the Jews in mind that they had been servants in the land of Egypt, and therefore that they ought to deal gently with such as were under their power. Thy manservants, saith here, and thy women servants shall rest themselves. And why? For thou thyself hath been in bondage. The time hath been that thou wouldst fain have had some rest and refreshing given thee. Therefore now thou must use the like gentleness towards such as are under thy hand. Here it should seem that God ordained not the Sabbath day for a spiritual order only, as is said afore, but also for charity's sake. For he saith it through that, say, if thou thyself wert in bondage, wouldest thou not that other men should give thee some release? Couldest thou find in thy heart to be always toiling? No, surely. Therefore must thou also bear with others. Now this is not done for the service of God, but rather for the common charity's sake, which ought to be between neighbour and neighbour, how far soever they be underlings to us in degree. Howbeit, inasmuch as this commandment is contained in the first table of the law, surely the thing that is touched here is but an accessory, I say the first table, for not without cause hath God decided his law in such sort, and as that he wrote it in two stones. Could he not have written it all in one stone, if he had listed? Yes. Why then was it made in two parts? It was not without cause, for there are two principal pointers in God's law. The one concerneth our duty towards him, and the other concerneth our duty towards our neighbours in being conversant with them. For the end whereunto our whole life ought to be referred, is first of all that upon knowledge that we have a God to whom we belong, we should walk in his obedience, and for as much as we hold our life of him, we should do him homage for it, and that for as much as he hath created us to a better hope, and adopted us for his children, we should glorify him for such goodness, and that for as much as he hath redeemed us with the blood of his Son, we should be wholly his, endeavouring to withdraw ourselves from the defilements of this world, that we may be true sacrifices unto him, calling upon him alone, fleeing to him alone for succour, and yielding him thanks for all his benefits. You see then that the first point of our life is the honour that we ought to yield to our God. Another point is this, that for as much as it is his will to try our obedience by living uprightly among men, none of us must be given to his own peculiar profit, but every of us must endeavour to serve other and maintain mutual honesty among ourselves, so as we not only abstain from deceit, violence and cruelty, but also lead a sober and modest life without looseness, lewdness or beastliness. That is the second point of our life. Now, sith it is so, that the commandment of the Sabbath day is contained in the first table, it followeth that it belongeth to the spiritual service of God, and that it concerneth not the charity which ought to be betwixt neighbour and neighbour. And why then is it treated of in that place? It is all one as if our Lord should say, this Sabbath day shall serve you for an overplus, that your manservants and women servants may have some ease as well as yourselves. Not that there was the drift of God's purpose. His chief intent was not that there should be a day in the week wherein we should cease from labour, wherein men should cease from labour that they might take breath and not be continually overhaled, so that they should be tired. That was not the cause which moved God to appoint the Sabbath day, but his ordaining of it was to do that faithful to understand that they ought to live after such a holy manner as to rest from all their own lusts and desires, that God might work wholly in them also. Also here is a very excellent benefit, as men term it. Behold, saith our Lord, inasmuch as ye have this warrant among you, that I do fancify you, I think that's what it says, see that you also endeavour to give yourselves unto me. For lo, this thing shall do you service, and it is to your profit, that is to wit, your household shall not be always overhauled, for your men servants and your women servants and your cattle must have some rest. Therefore you shall have this as an overplus. Now we see why here is express mention made that the Jews had been bondservants in Egypt, and therefore they ought to have regard of such as were held as prisoners under their hand. For whereas Moses speaketh of men servants and women servants, he meaneth not that manner of service that is common among us nowadays. For in those days servants were slaves, and they were held down like oxen or asses. They were handled so roughly and unkindly as was pity to see. God therefore telleth the Jewish people that in keeping with the Sabbath day they should even benefit and prosper their own household. So little cause have you, saith he, to repine at the time that I have referred to myself in taking one of seven, that if you were not over cruel and tyrannous to such as are at your devotion, you would see that the same day is to your benefit, if you had no further regard than to call order, than to civil order, that is to wit, that in that day your servants shall have some refreshing, it ought to persuade you thereunto. But you must understand that I have not ordained it only for your household's sake, but to the intent that you should bethink ye of the thing that I have told you, namely that inasmuch as ye be shoaled out from the infidels, you must be to me a kingly priesthood, so as you must seek nothing but to serve men in all soundness and pureness of conscience. Have ye once that regard, ye shall perceive that the same day will yield ye moreover some earthly commodity, but yet is not that the thing which ye must seek thereby. To be short, our Lord showeth us here that same thing which is avowed by Jesus Christ, which is that if we seek the kingdom of heaven, all other things shall be cast upon us. For we bear ourselves on hand that if we seek the heavenly life, we shall starve for hunger, and it will be a mean to turn us out of all our commodities. To be sure, the devil comes and always tempts us to the mislike of God's service, under this pretense and guile, that if we give ourselves to the serving of God, we must starve for hunger, so as we shall be in rueful case, and all the world will forsake us. But surely we cannot serve God unless we be bereft of our own affections, and shake off the worldly cares that press us too sore. Nevertheless, we must repose ourselves upon the blessing that is promised, as which is that which we, if we seek the kingdom of God, we shall be blessed even in these transitory things, so as our Lord will pity us and give us all things which he knoweth to be requisite for this present life. Only let us but wait upon him for the things which we cannot attain to by our own power and policy. That is that thing which he showed us in this place, Now this saying ought to serve us continually for a spur to make us go forward with the things that God commandeth us. For the chief thing that stayeth us from ruling and directing our life in the obedience of God is that being too much wedded to ourselves, we think that this thing or that thing will be more for our profit, and whatsoever come of it, we will needs lay for our own commodity and for the things that pertain to the world. We see here that men cannot find in their hearts to follow God, but rather shrink away from him and draw clean back from his law, because that to their seeming, if they should serve God, they should never thrive. But that is such a shameful thankfulness, as in enhanceth their rebelliousness 100-fold more. What is to be done then? Let us mark well that we can never serve God with a free and cheerful heart except we be fully resolved that he will provide for us all our life long and not forget us, as is said in the person of Joshua. That's in Joshua 1, 5 and 6. And there's also a quote here for Hebrews 4, 8 and 11. For in the epistle to the Hebrews, the apostle applieth this doctrine to all the faithful, even of purpose to withdraw them from over great carefulness. He saith, thy God will not forsake thee, neither will he forget thee. Now if we could once be truly persuaded that God watcheth over us, and that he will provide for all our necessities, 'tis certain that we should not be so over plunged with our earthly affections. We should not be turned away from the serving of him, neither should we be letted to mind the spiritual life, but we should pass through the world and use the creatures as though we used them not, because we would consider that we had yet further to go. Thus you see the effect that we have to gather of this lesson, is that where our Lord showeth us that his commanding of the Sabbath day to be kept hath a spiritual meaning, yet notwithstanding, men shall not fail to find the same profitable to them, and that God will bless them for it if they look right forth to him, and be not too eager in seeking their earthly commodities. And by the way, we be warned that if any have authority over others, they must not despise their neighbours, though they be in their inferiors. And this reacheth very far. For we must not interpret it only of men servants and women servants, but also of the poor, of such as are not of authority or estimation, of all underlings and subjects, and of all such as are, to our seeming, are not worthy to be compared or matched with us in respect to the world. For we see what the pride of men is. Although there be no cause why we should advance ourselves, yet doth every of us count some preeminence. Now then, if we be so high-minded that every of us could find in his heart to overpeer his neighbour, yea, even though there be no reason why, what will we do if we be advanced indeed? Look upon such as sit in seat of justice. They bear themselves in hand that the whole world, as he would say, was made for none but them, except God bridle them by his Holy Spirit and show them that they ought to walk in all manner of mildness and not oppress those that are under their charge, but rather behave themselves as fathers and account of their subjects as of their children. Yea, and that because God honoureth them there. Therefore they ought to live in the greatest humility. As for those that preach God's word and have that charge to direct others, if they think they ought to be exempted from the common sort and despise other men, well worth them, for it were better for them to break their necks in going up into the pulpit than not to strain themselves to be the first that should lead a godly consideration and godly conversation and live quietly with their neighbours and show themselves to be sheep, the flock of our Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, for all this, it is true that rich men may well be served by the poor. If a man have manservants and women servants for wages, he will not set his servant above himself at the table, neither will he lay him in his own bed, but yet, notwithstanding all superiority, Genesis 9:6, we must come to this point. Excuse me. We must come to this point that we must be knit together as one flesh, and that all of us are created after the image of God. If we considered that as many as come of Adam's race are our own flesh and bone, ought it not to move us unto kindness, though we were as wild beasts one to another? When the prophet Isaiah meant to reprove men for their unnaturalness, he said, "Thou shalt not despise thine own flesh." There ought, I believe, that's Isaiah 58:7. There ought I to behold myself as in a looking glass, namely in as many men and women as are in the world. Mark that for one point. But there is yet more, namely that the image of God is printed in all men. Therefore, whensoever I go about to oppress any man, I not only despise mine own flesh, but also hurt God's image as much as in me lieth. So then, let us mark well that by this text, God meant to show to all such as are in authority and estimation, and to all such as are richer than others, and to all such as are in any degree of honour, that they ought not to abuse those that are under their hand, nor to vex or torment them out of measure, but evermore to bear in mind how we be all descended of Adam's race, and are all of one kind, yea, and that all of us have God's image printed in us. That is the thing which we have to note, especially now that our Lord Jesus Christ is come down to us and hath abased himself to condemn all pride and to show that there is none other means to serve God than with lowliness, and moreover hath made us all members of his body. Philippians 2:7, and then it's also 1 Corinthians 12:13 and Galatians 3:27-28. As well as servants and underlings, as masters and superiors. So as there is no distinction in that behalf, when we come to our Lord Jesus Christ and have an eye to him, we must follow him. And seeing that all of us, both great and small, are members of his body, and he is our head, it is good reason that every of us should fashion himself like unto his neighbours. And besides that, seeing that God hath showed himself a father more familiarly to us than he did to them that lived under the law, let the same move us to maintain brotherly love among us. Thus you see further that we had to remember upon this place. Howbeit, there is yet one point more, concerning God's ordaining of this monument to put the Jews in remembrance that they had been wretched bond slaves in the land of Egypt. And we know that they were naughtily and cruelly handled there. Now, for as much as they would fain have been born with all in that case, and God hearkened to them when they sighed and groaned, therefore doeth he tell them that they also ought to do the like to others. And this containeth a good lesson, which is that if we consider ourselves, we may continually be induced to discharge our duties. On the contrary part, if we be cruel towards our neighbours, it is because we be, as you would say, besotted in our own ease, and think not upon our wretchedness and misery. He that hath suffered hunger and thirst, because he hath longed to be succoured at his need, will think thus of himself when he sees a poor man. Go to, I may self have been in the like of necessity, that doesn't scan, but I can't quite read that word, and I would have been glad to have been succoured, and methought that other men would have had pity upon me to relieve me. Now say I, if a man bethink him of such, when he beholdeth a poor man in need, will it not make his heart to relent? Yes, verily, but what for that? When we be at our ease, we think no more upon our human wretchedness, but rather we imagine that we be exempted, and that we be no more of the common sort. And that causeth us to forget ourselves, so as we have no more compassion of our neighbours, nor of anything that they endure. Therefore have we so much the more need to mark this matter, namely, that because our Lord seeth us blinded with self-love, so as it is enough for us to welter in pleasure, and we never think upon such as are in distress and necessity. Therefore he showeth us our state, saying, "Who be you? Were ye never in any adversity? Yea, and though ye happen to overshoot yourselves towards them, Do ye not bethink yourselves again, and say, Lo, these are creatures shaped after the image of God, and if we misuse them, God will have no pity upon us. And so let us practice this doctrine all our life long. Therefore, whensoever we see any folk pinched with adversity, let us call ourselves to remembrance in this wise. Have not I been in need as well as they? And if I were in like taking again, would I not be glad to be succoured? Seeing it is so, why should we exempt ourselves from such condition? We ought at least wise to do to other folks as we ourselves would be done unto. Nature teacheth us that we need not go to school to learn it. Then needeth there not any other evidence to condemn us, that our Lord's teaching of us aforehand by experience. If we have that, surely we shall be touched with kindness and compassion to succour such as have need and want, and we shall be moved with pity towards them that are in durance, so that if we have the mean and the power to relieve them, every of us will strain himself to do it. That is the thing which we make to mark in this place, where it is said, Thou art a stranger in the land of Egypt, thou wert a stranger in the land of Egypt, and so on. Therefore we must now have a care to relieve them that are under thy hand. For at that time, when thou thyself wast a servant, thou wouldst fain have been born withal. But let us come now to such as were not of the Jewish nation, but only traffickers among them. God will have them also to keep the Sabbath day, and yet were they not sanctified of God, neither could this sign belong to them. As I have said already, it seemeth that God unhalloweth the sacrament when he maketh it so common to the infidels and to such as were not circumcised to bear the mark of the covenant and to such as had not the law and the promises. But we have to mark that God speaking of strangers in this place is as having always an eye to the people whom he had chosen and adopted. For we know that if things should be permitted which are contrary to God's service, although it might be said that they be no people of our body, we might be induced to follow them by their evil example. If strangers had been suffered to travel among the Jews, what would have come of it? The Jews would have dealt with them, and so have defiled themselves, and there would have been no difference at that time. For when occasions offer themselves, we be easily enticed to evil. And although there be no great occasion, yet is our nature to be much inclined to evil, that would be allured to it by and by. And what will become of us then, when all shall be out of order? So then, the liberty that had been given to strangers to labour and travel among the people of Israel on the Sabbath day would have led them to corruption. Every man would have dispensed with himself and taken leave to break the Sabbath day and not to keep it. Therefore, to cut off such occasion of evil and to have that day observed with the greater reverence, like as God's will was that the cattle should rest, so ordained he that like also for strangers. And now must this serve for us too. For it showeth us that vices may not be suffered among people that make profession of Christianity, so as they should go unpunished, no, not even in such as are but travellers or foreigners. As how? Whereas blasphemy is condemned among us if a man hear one blaspheme in passing by, so as he scorneth God, and yet suffereth it, and winketh at it, is not his forbearing with such blasphemy, so as it hath full scope, unrepressed, as good as defiling, to make all other things stink? Yes, and yet it is to be seen. Surely so far off is it that blasphemy is punished as it deserveth among such as are not of our religion, that even in those which are mingled with us and profess Christianity as we do, men do as it were harden themselves, and that is to our greater shame. But yet for all that, if any man, be he Papist or be he of any other sect, as nowadays the world is fraught full of despisers of God, I say if any man be suffered to rally rail against the doctrine of the gospel and to blaspheme God's name, corruption will ensue of it, so as it shall not be easy to redress it. If whoremongers, I think, and ruffians may be suffered to bring in their lewd tricks and to sow more wickedness among us than we had afore, if wanton persons and unthrifts may be suffered to come and play their lewd pranks here, must it not needs be that we shall play the unthrifts with them and be utterly corrupted? Yes, and therefore let us mark well that our Lord intendeth to keep his people occupied in all cleanness, so as the professors of Christianity shall not only abstain from evil themselves, but also not suffer any so far as in them lieth. For we must understand that the earth is, as it were, unhallowed when God's service is defiled and his holy name dishonoured. The land wherein he will have us to dwell is, as it were, defiled and accursed, or at leastwise it is not long of us if it be not so. But if God have given his children prerogative, so as they be able to riddle idolatry out of the country where they dwell, surely if they do it not, they provoke God's wrath and vengeance against themselves. Now then, if we should grant the abominations of the popedom, to be mingled here with the pure service of God, so as the wilful papists that list to live here should have mass granted them by privilege, and they should be suffered to have some corner to work their idolatry and superstition in, it were a drawing of God's wrath upon us, and a kindling of the fire of his vengeance against us. And why? Because that inasmuch as God hath put the sword of justice into the hand of such as have the rule of things in his life, and given them power to drive away idolatry and all infections of papistry, surely if they maintain them, it is as if they drive away God, that he should no more dwell among them nor reign over them. This is Calvin justifying why the Mass shouldn't be allowed in Geneva. So then let us mark well that it is not without cause that our Lord would that the strangers which dwelt among his people, notwithstanding that they were of another faith and religion, should be compelled to keep the seventh day, not for their own sakes nor for their own instruction, for they were not capable thereof, but to the end there should be no stumbling block to disorder his people or to deface his service, but that the land which he had given to his servant Abraham to inherit might be wholly dedicated unto him. And hereby we be warned not only to fancify sanctify ourselves by God's word. A lot of the spellings are different in different places and very strange. And hereby we be warned not only to sanctify ourselves by God's word, but also not to suffer any occasion of offence or disorder to be committed among us, but to see that all such things be clean rid away. Moreover, seeing our Lord will have us to be so zealous in the maintenance of his service as to constrain even them that profess not themselves to be of his church, to yield the frame themselves unto us as long as they be in our company, I pray you, how shall we excuse ourselves if we on our side be not wholly given unto him, nor set forth ourselves as mirrors to draw wretched unbelievers unto us, and to win them to our God? For if we rebuke them when they do amiss, and in the mean, while they perceive the like or greater faults in us, shall they not have occasion to laugh all our sayings to scorn? Now then, seeing it was forbidden to suffer strangers to do things contrary to God's service, let us assure ourselves that we be double commanded to walk warily, and in such humility and soberness, as strangers may see by experience, that our desiring that God should be honoured is in good earnest and without counterfeiting, and that we cannot abide that any man should work reproach to his majesty and glory, That is the thing which we have to mark upon this place, if we mind to observe the thing nowadays which was commanded the Jews, accordingly also as it belongeth to us in truth and substance. For like as our Lord in old time delivered that people out of Egypt, so hath he now delivered us from the gulf of hell, and rid us from everlasting death, and from the bottomless pit of hell wherein we were plunged, of purpose to take us up into his heavenly kingdom, purchased for us by the blood of his dear beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this quoting of Colossians 1:13 and Hebrews 2:14 here. Purchased by the blood for us by the blood of his dear beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us kneel down in the presence of our good God with acknowledgement of our sins, praying him to make us feel them better than we have done, to the end that we, endeavouring to reform ourselves more and more according to his righteousness, may fight daily against the lusts of our flesh and shun all that is against the pure service of our God, holding out in the same encounter till he have fully rid us of it and fashioned us again after his own image, according whereunto we were created at the first, that it may please him to grant this grace not only to us but also to all people and nations of the earth. Amen.